Hello everybody, welcome to the Animal Channel. This is Dr. Nadine and we are in the month of November. And can you all, those of you in the United States, have you just been like totally enjoying this amazing, spectacular color that we've been gifted with this year with our fall? It is the first time in at least 8 years that I know of that I actually have been able to watch the colors change without having to go up into the mountains. You know, sometimes you have to go up into, depending on where you live, I'm in Colorado, and so the Rocky Mountains are right here, Estes Park. You can drive up to see colors change. But here, wow, this year, the colors have just been truly, truly, truly magnificent. So happy, exciting that we're all playing, that we're all getting to see all this wonderful joy. So welcome to the Animal Channel. I see a couple new names here that I have not seen before. Just want to give you a little bit of logistics. We are recording today, and after the call is over, I will download the call and just trim off the entry and the exit. I do not go through the entire thing and edit it minutely. And then I place that in the members area. We keep about 3 months' worth of active files up in the members area, and we do that for a couple reasons. Number one is to just to keep the page really clean so that you have a very easy place to go in and download from. The thing I would ask that you download whatever you want pretty quickly, so that you don't miss out on anything that's in that classroom. I do have the files on my side, so if you remember a topic and you did not download, if you could tell me when the topic was, I can usually send you that audio file. So that's logistics. We will be together today for probably around an hour for what the animals want to talk about today. And we're talking about boundaries. Today is all about boundaries. And boundaries from a lot of different areas. And part of this is going to be you personally are going to learn some tools, and then we're going to teach those same tools to your animals, and then we're going to have you do an exercise where you're actually using those same tools that we're going to be talking about today in an active situation where you have to set a boundary. So everyone take a breath. Know that we're in a working session today. Yay, I get to work. So this is lovely. So boundaries and animals, you know, have you ever been out on a walk with a horse or with a dog and you're minding your own business, you and your puppy or you and your horse are out just enjoying yourselves, and all of a sudden, this typically happens a lot with dogs, but let's say you're out walking your dog and somebody else has their dog off leash, or there's a person who's walking their dog and they do not know how to manage the leash itself. So their dog is fighting against the leash, gets off the leash, comes up to you, and you know the owner is saying, "Oh, don't worry. You know, they won't hurt you. You know, they would never hurt a fly." That's not the point. The point is that we are wanting to set a boundary so that you feel safe, your dog feels safe, your horse feels safe, your bunny feels safe. Whatever situation, we want to have these tools to where we can have a safe environment. That's the number one thing. Another situation actually shows up is, let's say you have a backyard and other animals like to come into your yard. How do we set boundaries that allow animals to come and enjoy, and you can see them and enjoy, however, they're not infringing upon your personal space? So we've talked quite a few times that, you know, I have 3 cats of my own, and Little Bear is very territorial. He is a true king of his pride. And he can tolerate an animal, say, he's okay with the squirrels, he's okay with the deer, but if another cat comes up to his window, he has a hard time with that. So one of the tools that we're going to use today will show you, teach you how to set a boundary to where the cat or critters, whatever you don't want, can come up to that boundary. They'll stay on their side of the boundary, but what's on your side of the boundary is going to be safe for you, safe for your animals. So does that sound like something that's going to be wonderful to have in your toolbox of really wonderful things to use? I'm going to add one more piece to that last. When we set a boundary for, say, your property, I worked with a gal a couple weeks ago that her cat was getting out, going over the fence, and so we used another tool that said, okay, on this side of the fence it's safe, but on that side of the fence it's not safe. We didn't want the kitty on that side of the fence. So we used a tool that showed a safe path home. So if we have time today, we'll also include that here, a safe path home. Because I know a lot of you have, some of you have indoor animals, some of you have outdoor animals, some of you have both. We want to make sure if you have horses that the horses know where the boundaries are so that you don't always have to have an electric fence on. Or one of my clients has cows and they didn't want to have to put a ring through the cow's nose, the nostril area. That's painful, but they didn't want to have to do that to be able to have the cow know where the boundaries were. So again, these tools, we're going to start with you personally. So everyone, you know that we have seven chakras, and the first chakra is right at the tailbone, at the coccyx. So those of you who worked with me before, would you just take your grounding cord that you have currently, and would you give it a yank and just let it slide off down into the channel that goes down into the center of the earth where Gaia is waiting for our fodder, if you will. And then in a moment, we're going to connect a brand new grounding cord. So those of you who are brand new here to this call, to our time together, a grounding cord has one main goal, and that main goal is to siphon off the thoughts and the emotions that do not belong to you. So when I'm working with an animal, the very first thing I teach them is how to ground their body. A lot of times, in addition to their grounding cord for their main grounding cord, which on an animal will come off the tail, come in a few inches off the tail, right into kind of the area of the genitals areas where the grounding cord falls on an animal. But in addition to that main grounding cord, for horses, I have a grounding cord on each hoof. If we have a horse in heat, or a wolf in heat, if you will, I'll have grounding cords on each ovary so that whatever's going on in those ovaries, it helps them reduce pain, but it just helps them feel more comfortable in their own body. And then if we, let's say we have a wolf or three or four wolves in heat, and we have the females with all of grounding cords on their ovaries, we also want the males to not be going total craziness. So we'll definitely put up one of the tools we're going to talk about today to where the males are behind that rose so that they're not affected by the scent of the females in heat. You can also have the males have ovaries, have grounding cords on their testes so that they're just more calm. They're feeling better. They're feeling more calm. So take a breath with me, everyone. We just dropped the human grounding cord. If you have an animal with you in the room, you can have them just give a little yank. You can give a little yank on the grounding cord just to detach it. Now, right out in front of you, you get to be very creative here. Would you just create with your imagination a beam of light that's about 1 to 2 feet long. And now with your non-dominant hand, would you grab the top of that beam of light and reach around and plug that into your first chakra. And drop the other end And now around that straight line, would you just imagine a coil? Give a little yank on that cord, make sure it's fully engaged. Now, when I am showing an animal a grounding cord, all that I have to do is show them a straight line and a coil. I usually touch their body, but they know exactly where to put that grounding cord. And they don't have to have this instruction. They know how to turn it on, fully activate it, and connect it to Gaia. But for us, we humans, we're a little slower than animals. So by your right hand, there is a flip switch and a dial. Would you flip the switch on? Would you turn the dial to full release? And then would you say hello to the Earth Mother Gaia, and would you ask her to pull the bottom of your grounding cord down to the center of the Earth where she needs fodder, fertilizer? Excellent. Now, for a human, would you give the grounding cord the command to be 3 times larger than anything you're wanting to release? For an animal, I simply tell them to spread. Just spread it out. So for a horse, if you are on the horse, you're going to want it a little larger than this if you're actually riding. But for right now, if we're talking the horse line, their grounding cord is going to be another body half larger than they are. So if you're on them, you can literally see that grounding cord out, way out in front of them, around the sides, another half body length. Usually about the same for a dog. Cats like to keep their grounding cords a little closer to their bodies. They don't like it out there a lot farther. Bunnies are like almost on the skin. I mean, they're just like right there. They keep everything kind of close to the heart, if you will. Okay, everyone take a breath. So we're grounded. And now, just for grins and giggles, if you have a female body, just so you can see what this feels like, if you have a female body, would you create 2 little grounding cords and attach them to each ovary? And this is regardless of whether you still have those in your body. Energetically, you have them, so one on each ovary. If you have a male body, would you put them on the testes? And if you happen to have all of those body parts, then you feel free of where you would enjoy having your grounding cords, and more the merrier. Truly, the more the merrier. Okay, everyone take a breath. So we have a grounding cord, and we have little grounding cords on the body. So would you now pick one of your animals? And let's just pick one. Let's not try to do this, especially if you have 23 horses. Let's not try to do 23 at a time. Pick one horse, one animal. Oh, I just had somebody ask a question. What happens if I have a snake? Would you ask the snake where the snake would enjoy having the grounding cord? Because I'm getting being shown that the snake actually has 6 points on the snake that they would enjoy, and they will if they know exactly where to put the grounding cord. So just offer it to them, and they will put it in the places where it would suit them and serve their needs the best. Good question. Good question. Birds definitely have 2, 3. It looks like they like to have one on each leg and then one around their neck, in their neck, just to help them keep balance, which is interesting because they love the one by the tail. So you can have more grounding cords. Their goal, their job, their purpose is to siphon off what does not belong to the animals, what does not belong to the human. Okay, take a breath. So that is just our initial setup. You've had these tools before. It's simply allowing the body to be grounded. But here's the biggest tool when it comes to setting boundaries, and it's called a rose. A rose. So energetically, the vibration of the rose has the highest vibration on planet Earth. It is crazy if you wanted to buy pure rose oil, like pure, the essential oil, pure rose, like Bulgarian rose oil is like $800 for an ounce. It's just wild how much it costs to bring that vibration into a liquid form. Why I say this, there's lots of really cool reasons for why we use a rose, and you can go look some of those up. But the Rosicrucians use roses. It's very feminine energy. Why we are using a rose is because a higher, faster vibration will always absorb a lower, slower vibration. I'm going to say that again. A faster vibration, a higher vibration, will always absorb a lower, slower vibration. So as an example, happy, the vibration of happy is a higher vibration to sad. And if we are in a vibration of happy, it is going to absorb the slower vibration of sad. It is going to absorb a slower vibration of frustrated. Okay, so just that concept. A higher vibration will always absorb a lower, slower vibration. Here's a visual for everyone. If you were in your kitchen and you had a blender and you put things in the blender, the moment you turn that blender on high, what happens? If you had dry things in there, crunchy things in there, it's going to spin those up, and that cylindrical force, that high vibration is going to blend all that dry that you had in there, the slower, lower vibration. Okay? So here might be something fun is after the call, you guys go make a pancake or a cake or brownies or something. I can just see you going, hey, yeah, we just had an assignment in class. We had to make cookies. The reason that we're doing this is so that you have a good visual of having that higher vibration absorbing the lower, slower. So I'm happy to add to the creativeness of your own kitchen. So this rose, what we want to do with the rose is to put it and say, I own what's on this side of the rose, and everything on that side of the rose is mine to observe. It's like a theater, like Shakespeare's theater. So what I would like everyone to do is to, again, right out in front of you, or, you know, 1 or 2 feet right out in front of you, would you just imagine, create a rose? Now notice, what color is your rose? Does it have a stem? Does it have thorns? Does it have leaves? Is your rose open? Is it closed? Just notice and make any adjustments that you want to your rose. How tall is it? If you have a rose that's only 2 inches, is that going to be sufficient for you when you say, ah, I'm going to plant this in front of me in a few minutes, and I want this to be my line, my delineation line that says I'm responsible for what's inside on this side of that rose. If you need a taller rose, then right now, before we get going, would you just give the command to your rose to be a different size? And notice how fun and easy that is. It's like we're in kindergarten, right? It's so easy to go, ooh, rose, be 6 feet tall. Ooh, rose, be 4 feet wide. Ooh, rose, be yellow versus green. Ooh, rose, I would like you to have no thorns at all. There you go. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, now we are going to want 6 of those roses. So you can either duplicate the first one so you have 6 all in a row, or you can do this 1 at a time. And we're going to be very methodical here. We want to plant these roses around your body. So would you take the first rose? Would you reach out in front of you as far as you can reach? Turn your palm to face you. Plant that rose in front of you. So that's what, maybe 2.5 feet out in front of you? So rose number 1 is going to go in front of you. Remember, we have 6 of these. So very methodically, I want you now to take one rose and put it on your left side, one on your right side, one behind you, one above you, and one below you. Now here's the very cool thing about these roses. Again, what's the purpose of the rose? The purpose of this rose is to say, I'm responsible for what's inside of those 6 points. That's my area on the inside of those 6 points. It's my boundary. Everything on the outside is mine to observe. So, with again, the same animal that you're working with, that you just assisted in showing them how to put on a grounding cord, would you now create a rose in front of them? If you have a dog that's, you know, 2.5 feet tall, maybe their rose is going to be 4 feet tall. If you have a snake, you know, maybe your grounding or your rose is going to be 1 foot tall. If you have a horse and your horse is 14 hands, your rose might want to be 16 hands tall. So very methodically now, would you create 6 roses for your this animal you're working with, and would you do exactly the same thing for them? Would you put a rose in front of them, on the left side, on the right side, behind, above, and below? The cool part is they're only responsible for what's, say it with me, inside the roses. So let's just extend this a little farther. Let's say we're going to take 2 situations here. You are outside walking with either your dog or cat, or you're outside riding a horse, a cow, a bunny, a donkey, whatever. You're out riding. So you want to have your own personal grounding cord and your personal roses. You want the animal to have their grounding cord or cords and their roses, because maybe you're just walking beside them. But if you actually happen to be riding on their back, then we would want another grounding cord that's wider and the roses that are wider for all, both your energy and their energy. So hopefully that makes sense. You always want to have your own personal boundary. Again, it just says I'm responsible for what's on the inside. I'm going to observe what's on the outside. But if you're walking your dog or riding your horse, then you want to have one that's going to expand just a little larger than the two of you together. And that works really well. Let's say you're out in a really busy park. It's really lovely to know that you have this really wonderful space, this area that's for you and your dog, you and your cat, you and your horse, you and whatever animal you happen to be out there with. Good job, everybody. Good job. So let's take another rose. So these are what I'm going to call your delineation roses, all right? So these are what says, here I'm responsible for what's inside, and I'm going to observe what's on the outside. So imagine with me you're at a park. You have your grounding cord. You have your 6 roses. Your dog, let's just stick with the dog. Your dog has its grounding cord and its 6 roses. And then you have the one for the two of you together. And you're at the park, and you notice across the grass, there's another group of dogs. So we can do a couple things. We can blow on these roses, and we can expand that grounding, the field, if you will. We can expand it out like a big bubble. And how we're going to do that is simply blow on those roses. Just take a nice deep breath of air and blow out, and observe that grounding, I keep using that word, the roses moving out another foot, another 2 feet. And now this time, suck in your air and bring those roses really close, so maybe they're only 4 inches from your body. And now blow them back out again. How far out away from your body do you want to have those roses so that you feel comfortable with this portion of simply moving the boundary line that says, here's my boundary, please don't come any closer than this. And the beauty of this tool is it's very easy to do. It just takes you being very aware and conscious and doing, blowing out and either breathing your energy into you, but usually blowing it out just so we have a really great field here. And then let's add one more piece here. So this part, you can blow those boundary roses out. You can pull them in. But now in addition to that, we can put another rose. So let's say everybody's boundary rose is red. And don't change it to that if it's not. I'm just using this as an example. So if all the six roses around you are red, let's create another rose that goes on the outside of that. And that's the one that can be between you and the other people in the park. So let's say, for example, you're in the park. Play with me here. And there's a group of dogs or people in front of you. There's another group over on the left. There's another group behind you on the right. You could have three more roses, one that is between you and each of those groups of people. So we still have our six. Our six are our main six. They go with us everywhere. But we're going to create another rose. Let's say we're going to choose yellow. I'm going to put a yellow rose, big yellow rose, between me and the people over that were in front of me, another yellow rose for the group that's to my left, and another yellow rose that's to the group behind me on my right. Does that make sense? So it's like you're actively, oh, here comes another dog over here on the left. Let's put another rose over there. And all it's saying is, hey, doggies, you are on that side of the roses. I'm responsible for what's on the inside of my roses. And what I think you're going to notice as you're out there playing and out there working is this is going to allow the animal that you happen to be with to completely calm down and feel safe. The other thing it's going to let them do is to walk in confidence, confidently within those six roses because they know they're in their color. So I'm just being shown, the animals are saying, well, let's talk about being safe. So a couple lessons ago, we talked about asking your animal what their safe color is. What their safe color is. So again, you have one particular animal you're working with right now. Would you just ask them, in this moment, right here, right now, what color is your safe color for right now at this moment? And whatever that color is, would you now paint the inside of those six roses that color? So your roses can be red if you like, but inside the roses, let's say your animal says their safe color is pale blue, then inside of those six roses is pale blue so that your animal is sitting in their safe color with the six roses around them and their grounding cord on. And anything that's not at that safe color is going to go down that grounding cord. Yeah, this is looking really good. Can you guys feel this? Feel your own body, but look at the animal and watch. A lot of times with horses, I will watch their ears just very relaxed. They'll start, making sounds with their muzzle that allows them to just release energy. With dogs, there's been times before we put the roses around them, their hair would be standing up and their ears would be, kind of tilted back. And then after being inside the roses and after being at their safe color, their fur sets down, their ears are like, oh, this is cool, I'm safe, I can go over here and sniff in joy, I can go over here and poop in joy. There's just this level of relaxation and calm that happens when we honor the color of safe. Honor that color of safe. Yeah, and right now we're in November and we're coming into a place where a lot of family interactions, and you know, quite honestly, we all need to have our own space where we feel comfortable and safe, and this is my space is another way of looking at it. This is my space. So inside your aura, inside those 6 points, is definitely my space, mine alone. Good, 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 good. So let's just recap our tools so that those of you who are taking notes, you have good notes here. We have a grounding cord, and the purpose of the grounding cord is to siphon off what's not mine, thoughts or emotions. For humans, we have the straight line and coil. The straight line siphons off the thoughts. The coil siphons off the emotions, right? For animals, they have a straight line and coil also. They don't get as technical as us. They just release. They one-shot deal. They don't hang on to some of the drama we do. Not that they don't have drama, because I have literally watched a horse. A butterfly came down and sat on her butt, and oh my gosh, you know, one would think that the world had ended because the butterfly had come down, and it was the scary monster thing. So we put a little grounding cord on the butterfly, and we allow the horse to go to her safe color, which her safe color is very interesting. It's a blue-gray. And so we're just allowing that safe, 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 safe color. Okay, somebody on the line is asking, how do I deal with confidence? So I, with animals, they're so fast. Is ask your animal what's their color for confidence. And whoever asked this, I'm being shown like a tangerine color. So would you allow, like just take a handful of that tangerine color and imagine putting it on the top of your dog, on the top of the dog's head. And then that animal, which in this situation is the dog, but that animal will begin to wear confidence, begin to wear tangerine while they're walking around in their safe color, but they're wearing confidence. They're wearing it. If you can even go so far as to get a collar that's their confidence color, and or a leash that's their confidence color. I know this is kind of a segue, but I worked with one of the wild Mustangs, and we went to confidence color, and the horse's confidence color actually was like a red, like a burnt red. And the owner actually went in and got a halter that comes up around the ears and down the face that was that color. And every time the horse put the halter on, it was an immediate shift of energy because it was their confidence color. So if memory serves me correctly, she actually went on and found a blanket, the blanket that goes under the saddle at that same color. So it was that vibration going on the fur before the saddle came in that was allowing that horse to be at the level of confidence. So this is just a couple tools that you can be using around the house. So let's say that you're not out on a walk. You want your animal to feel safe in your home. You ask them again, what's their safe color? And now imagine that you have a spray bottle or a roller of paint. You can energetically spray the ceiling and the floor and the walls their safe color. Or if you like, let's say you paint the front wall their safe color, but the side walls are their confidence color because they're going to be different. Is this making sense to everybody? So just tools of using how the roses say, I'm safe inside of these roses, right? I'm safe here. I'm confident here. And everything that's on the outside of those roses are some it's for somebody else. So let's say we have to set up boundaries that is not just around the dog or the horse or the cat or the bird or the snake keeps coming up in this conversation. Let's say you have property. And I'm going to go to the situation that I worked on just a couple weeks ago with the kitty cat. The owner was very upset that the kitty cat seemed to always be jumping up on the fence, the top of the fence, walking the ledge of the fence, and then jumping down on the other side. And then hours would go by, and she didn't know if the cat knew how to get back home. So what we ended up doing was creating very, 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 very large roses, all right? So we're talking higher than the fence. And again, what is the safe color? So you want to ask your animal, what color do you feel this is mine? This is where I belong. And in her situation, it was yellow. So let's just use the yellow rose. For the cat, yellow represented, I feel really safe at yellow. So we ended up going to that fence line and planting a row of yellow roses that were taller than the fence. And she ended up wanting three sides. So she had the back fence and then the two side fences. So we ended up literally, you know, how many roses is that? It's a lot of roses. So we just put a whole line of roses on, say, on the left side, and then along the back fence, and then along the right fence, and again, these roses happen to be taller than the fence line, so that what's the message we're sending? Everything inside of all of these roses, kitty, you can play, you can feel safe, you're comfortable here, this is where you belong, this is your welcome color, but we don't want you going over the fence. So I happen to know that nothing sticks to brown, like no energy can stick to brown. So on the other side of the fence, we planted brown roses. So that if the kitty got over there, it's like, no, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to land here. My energy's not supposed to be here. Brown on the other side of the fence. So, you know, the mom asked, well, what do I do if the kitty ends up over there somehow where she's not supposed to be? How do I help her find a way home? So what we ended up doing was taking a bunch of yellow rose petals, because yellow was this kitty's safe color. We drew or laid roses down on a safe path to back into the yard. Safe path back into the yard. Okay? So I want you to look at your property. So let's say you know what's in your room, you know what's in your living room, your bed. Where we were talking when before I heard that we got disconnected was, how do we set boundary lines for my animal? So would you look at your own property and see if this is appropriate? Because we want everybody to try this assignment here. Would you look at the land that you have around you, and would you just look at what would be safe for your animal? So let's say you have bunnies. What's the safe portion you want to have bunnies that can go out in the yard and play for a little bit? And it may literally be 2 feet from your back door. Okay? So it doesn't have to be where the fence line is. We're just playing here. Maybe you have kitties and you want them to be able to come out on the portion, and what is their space, we want you to put those boundary roses up. So pick a color that's different than the one that's the aura. So remember, we were playing with red, and the red was the color of, here's where my aura ends, my energy ends, and everything's on the other side is you know, I'm watching, we want a different color that's going to be for the outside. So let's say we pick purple roses this time. I'm going to plant purple roses in the area that says this is the safe place to play. This is a safe place to explore. And then would everyone try this with me? So let's say we're using purple roses. So everything on my side, on the inside of the purple roses, is safe to play. And then you choose the color that's on the other side that says you don't get to cross this line. Again, brown is kind of a universal color for no energy can hang on to brown. And what would be helpful is if we're using purple roses, to make a box, you know, the purple roses, usually you'll have the left side, you know, front side, you know, right side, and then put the brown on the outside of that area. Okay, let's just play here. I remember one of my friends talking about they had a problem with snakes. This exact same process, exact same tool with snakes. So we did this actually in three layers because of where my friend's kind of comfort level was. So we went to the boundary lines of her property and we put roses 360 degrees around her property and specifically set at snake vibration because we wanted the squirrels to come over. We wanted the birds to come over. So this was for a snake, and we simply said, snake, you may not cross this line. So on the outside, I guess what color was on the outside? It was brown. But she actually put brown roses because she did not want the snakes to cross that at all, right? So she had a like two inches on the inside and 2 inches on the outside of her row of roses that said, here's the boundary line. Snakes, you may not cross this boundary line. Then closer to, she had a sliding door with a little back portion where her doggies could go out and play. Around the doggies area, she did the same thing, or we did the same thing. A line of brown roses. And then 2 inches on either side of those brown roses, we put another, you know, layer of brown so that no snakes could cross that back area. And then just because she happened to have found a rattlesnake in her, the basement, the lower level of the house, we actually went into the basement. And on every wall, so it wasn't like a rectangle. There was all kinds of very interesting, a left here, a right here, left here, right here, like foundations do. Along the entire foundational wall on the inside of her basement, we put another row of brown roses all the way around. And again, the message was no snakes are allowed to cross the brown. So if you have mice, a problem with mice, you could do that. I happen to have a squirrel issue, and I don't want the squirrels in my garage at all. And so there's a couple shelves that I do not want squirrels on. I just do not want them. So I have laid roses on the boards, you know. So if you were to slide a box on the board, those boards are completely dark brown. And again, the intention of the energy is you may not be here. But I wanted, if there's any kitties who are in the neighborhood and we happen to have a storm, I want the kitties to feel comfortable coming in and being on the blankets there. So brown was no to the squirrels, specifically no to squirrels, and then I would flip it so that I had some blue there that was comfortable and safe for kitty vibration. Now, you can tell this is all with my intention, with your intention. So you are the commander here. You are the chief. You are the one designing. And let's say you had a bunch of crayons. you could be drawing a picture and like, okay, here's where the kitties get to be. This is a safe blue color. And then you could put circle energy. Here's the brown. Here's where I don't want mice. Here's where I don't want squirrels. Be creative, because here's the absolute truth. You really can't do it wrong, right? You just cannot do it wrong. So take a breath. Look over your notes. This tool, the rose, has to be one of the most powerful tools of simply being able to say, your side, my side. Your side is I get to look at you. My side is mine to own. Mine to own. So we have a little bit more time here. So let me just show you how let's say we had an animal come into the yard that you really don't want. So what I notice is I live in a townhome community and people let their dogs run wherever and they just don't clean up their poop, you know? And so if you're out walking barefoot or you want to sit down in the afternoon on the grass, you really have to do some hunting to make sure that you're not sitting in somebody's, you know, gift that they left behind. So I will do the same thing with boundary roses. It's like, yeah, I really don't want to see a dog crapping right in front of me. So I put roses around my view area. But the other thing I do is I will go over and I will put a section that says, here's where you can effectively poo. And it's off in where the trees are. So I set up a poop zone, and I haven't gone over there. I'll be honest. I have not gone over there to see if the dogs are actually using that as the poop zone, but I definitely didn't want it to be where I was, you know, where I was. But where I wanted to give you this other tool, let's say you have an animal that comes into your yard and you really don't want them to be there anymore. So would you create a different rose now? This is a powerful tool. So let's create a white rose this time. And would you give the rose the command to collect up all of that animal's energy? So I'm looking right now at a golden retriever. This is the culprit that these people that are like four houses down from me, they just let their golden retriever do what it wants, poop where it wants. So I'm going to collect up all of the golden retriever's energy. And I'm going to do two things with this energy. I definitely do not want it in my space. So I'm going to take that rose that's collected with all of that dog's energy, and I'm going to move it outside of my boundary line. Remember, we put all those roses that said, I can have what's inside, I don't want what's on the outside. So I'm going to move that white rose that's collecting all of, in this situation, the golden retriever's energy, I'm going to move that rose to the outside of where I put my boundary. The dog can be on the outside of the boundary. And if I really don't want the dog around, because here it's just not appropriate, I'm going to move that rose out even another 8 feet, 12 feet, 15 feet away. Yeah, there we go. On my side, what I was doing was moving the rose that had collected up all of the golden retriever's energy out of my viewing space, specifically from my office. But I wanted a good 12 feet away, 15 feet away. And then release that energy so that the owners can come pick up their dog's energy if they like. So let's do that again. So we're back on the recording. Would you create a rose? And whose animal energy do you want out of your space? Would you give the rose the command to collect up all of that energy? And then would you move that energy outside of the boundary that you set up earlier? There you go. There you go. There you go. Very nice. Okay, what about if you have a guest coming over and they're bringing a dog or a cat or a bunny, and they're coming into your space? right? That would be another scenario. So we want to create a rose that allows that other animal to be safe. So I'm just, let's play here. So you choose what is a safe color. You get to choose what is a color you want an animal to feel safe at your house. So I'm going to choose soft green. So I have a little neighbor dog that likes to come visit my kitties. Her name's Tater Tot. So how I'm setting this up is when Tater Tot comes to visit, I want her to feel safe in my home. So I'm going to create a little green rose. Actually, Tater Tot loves pink. She loves pink. So in my situation, just because I'm talking this out, I'm going to create a little pink rose for Tater Tot. And it's a safe rose, right? It's so that she can feel safe when she's in the house. But you're picking what's your animal. What color are you choosing for the animal you want to feel safe in your home? And where's the areas in your home you want the animal to be able to go? Like, do you want them in every room of the house, or do you only want them, say, in the living room or in the dining room or in the kitchen? Right? Where do you want to let the animal to be? And then would you put that rose, in this situation a pink rose, in each of those rooms that it's safe for your visiting animal to come and visit you? There we go. There we go. There we go. Very nice, everybody. So it just feels like I'm going to get dumped again for whatever's going on with this conference line. So let's just look at what we've done. So we recap a bit here. We've created a grounding cord, and the purpose of the grounding cord is to siphon off energy that's not mine, right? It's not my emotions. It's not my thoughts. We've created a rose, and we planted the roses around the body, six of them. One on the left side, one on the right side, one above, one below, one in front, and one in back. So six roses. And again, you do this for the animals as well. They each have six. And you want to be able to blow those roses out so you can say, ooh, you know, here's a dog running at me, I want to take a nice deep breath and just blow those roses out like a balloon. You're just spreading those roses out a little farther from the body. Or you can inhale your air and bring those roses closer to the body, wherever it feels comfortable in the moment. And then outside of those 6 points, that's when we put another rose that says, okay, other obnoxious, you know, dog person that's way over there, I'm going to put this rose between me and you. And these roses work amazing for people. So let's say you're going into a grocery store and there's someone screaming two aisles away from you, put a rose between you and that person. If you're standing in the grocery aisle and there's people all around you, make sure you put, in addition to your six, put roses around you. It just says, what's on that side is not mine. I'm only responsible for what's on the inside of the roses. And then we did boundaries, like setting boundaries for the property that I want my kitty or my dog or my bunny or whatever to be able to play safely on the inside of the roses I put all around my property. And then again, I use brown for where you do not want anything sticking. Brown is one of those colors that nothing will stick to brown. There you go. Okay, so we have some good recap there. Really good recap. And then there was one more piece that I think I wanted to say. Nope, I think I got all of that. I know there was one more piece there, but I don't remember. If there's an animal that's in your yard and you want to move their energy out, you can create a rose, collect up their energy, and then move the rose, move their energy out. annoying neighbor's animal who they just, and it's not the animal's fault, truly. It's the fact that the human that is connected to that animal does not respect boundaries, and they just seem to be in la-la land. You know those people, right? You've met them. They're just completely unconscious of their own, just don't get me going there. That's a whole two-hour conversation. All right, so let's bring this to closure. This was all about boundaries and being able to create a situation where your animal feels safe, your animal feels confident in the area that you've set up for them. I can tell you our topic for next time is going to be how our animals teach us to love unconditionally. They allow us to open our heart and really learn to love, to receive love from them, to give love to them. So be looking out for when I post that out into the Facebook group, but in emails, in the classroom, that we will have that topic coming up of how our animals share unconditional love with us. So thank you very much for your time. I do apologize for getting kicked off out of the line a couple times. I will go to the recording and I will clean up those parts of it and get that into your classroom for you as soon as I possibly can. So have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me, everyone, that was able to dial back in or stick with us when I got dumped off the call. But until we meet again, have a wonderful, wonderful day and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you in December. Have a great day. Bye, everyone.